Out in the rolling sea, Good evening. We want to welcome everyone tonight, our members and our visitors. We're going to ask the members, if they will, please fill out an attendance card, and you can find those in the pew in front of you, and place them in the collection plate. That's also a reminder that during services, people that did not have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, we will not be dismissing you out of the auditorium at the end of service. We will be doing that in here with everyone else tonight. Logan Allen, grandson of Greg and Melanie, is in UAB Children's Hospital. He's recovering from his accident. We are having a baby boy diaper pounding for Mercedes Beckman. Today is the last day for this. There is a basket located in the foyer that you can place the diapers. This week is our week to deliver Meals on Wheels. If you can help with this, please sign the sheet on the table in the foyer. We are still in need of someone on Monday and Friday. We want to express our sympathy to the family of Charles Parker in his passing this past Thursday. Please keep Gladys, Kathy, Hannah, and their families in your prayers. And there will be a celebration of his life that's planned for October 24th. And the family wanted to thank you for your prayers, cards, and calls, and thoughts at this very difficult time. Retreat money is due to Mark Willingham or Austin Johnson. And also, I want to remind the prime-timers that Tuesday, they will meet here at 6:30 and go to Jacksonburg to support Austin. And last thing is you were invited to celebrate the 75th wedding anniversary of Leo and Hazel Martin, Sunday, September 25th from 2 to 4 in the Fellowship Hall. No gifts, please, but they would enjoy the cards.
If you would stand for our first song, which will be number 469.
Encamped along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise and rest the battle.
Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. It's not only beautiful because of your creation, the sunshine, just the beauty around us, but Father, it's beautiful because we've been able to gather together with the saints and glorify you. And Father, as we've looked to you today and looked to Christ, we pray that just like Moses, because we've been in your presence, that we will reflect you when we leave this place, that your love and your word will flow from us wherever we go this week. And Father, may we give you glory in all things that we do. May we do your will. May we be the hands and the feet of Jesus. May we serve one another and those in need. And Father, may we speak the truth in love. Father, we thank you for your truth, for your word, for allowing us to see your will and to know your will. And Father, help us each and every day to submit to your will, to live out your will for our lives, just like Jesus, Father. We thank you for this time of worship. We're able to sing praise and come before your presence in prayer. And Father, we know that we're only able to do that through Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity, for this privilege and honor. Father, we come humbly but also boldly. We pray that you will be with our congregation. We pray that you'll be with Austin and his family as he's away preaching. We pray that you will be with John and Hope and Joseph as they're ministering and working with our young people. And Father, we're thankful for the godly example that both of those men and their families put before us. Father, you know the stress and you know the hardships that come with those ministry positions. And Father, may we as this congregation support them, extend them grace, and show them our love. Father, we pray that our shepherds here will continue to lovingly lead us. Father, we pray that we as members here, as this sheep, that we will submit to their guidance, that we will understand and appreciate the responsibility that they have. And Father, we just pray that you will bless them and their families. Father, we're thankful for each family that's here. We're thankful for just the blessing that we have to being together this week and this time of the week. But Father, as we're apart later on this week, may our love for one another keep us connected. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer, and we know that you have heard it because it's been through your Son. Amen.
Our next song will be number 222. Number 222. Taking the Lord's Supper this evening, we'll sing number 346.
I see his loving care.
you didn't have opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper and you didn't get one of these, put your hand up and we'll get someone to get you one. Does everybody have one that needs one? Okay, over here. In Luke chapter 29, verse 19, it says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We talk about the remembrance of Christ a lot, and usually when we talk about the Lord's Supper, we're talking about all the pain and anguish that he bore upon the cross, and that is important. But he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know, when somebody passes today, we have a funeral and we have a remembrance of them. But it goes so much further than that death that they have experienced. It goes to the life that they experienced. Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Remember who I was and the life that I lived while I was here. Not just my death." And what does that death represent? Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, he says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, spoke a blessing, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and saying, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" We don't often talk about this. We talk about the eating and drinking, but we don't talk about the blood of the covenant. It's a new covenant, a new arrangement that Christ was doing and performing in his death. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, he says, "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the Father, until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So when did that happen? In John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, Jesus answered them, said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and yet you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking about the temple of his body. The temple of his body. In Acts chapter 7, verses 47 through 49, it says, "But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my rest?'" We get the answer when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. He says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens." Remember in the Old Testament? Remember in the Old Testament, only the Jews could partake? Now he's speaking to the Gentiles under this new arrangement, this new covenant accomplished by Christ's blood. He says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." You know the song, kids, we sing, "Cornerstone"? I said kids, should say youth, I'm sorry. "In whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling place of the God, the Spirit." So God dwells within the temple, and the temple is each one of us as we are members of his body, and only if we are members of his body. So John chapter 6, verses 53 through 56, says, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." So how we eat his flesh is shown, was symbolized in the bread that we have. how we live to our lives is how that we show that we are living our life as Christ wants us to. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for this life that you allowed your Son to live for us, that he being our Savior, that we now can look back and on the cross and remember all the things that was accomplished in that great sacrifice that he gave. That we pray that we will live in the flesh as Christ lived in the flesh, although not perfect. Let it be our desire that people will see Jesus in us as we remember his sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, the blood of my covenant, a new arrangement that he made, that with that blood that all our sins are erased, so we can live a life in the flesh as Jesus, because he showed us how to be obedient unto the Father, and that his blood, the new arrangement, makes us fellow heirs with God, and then God will dwell with us. God did not dwell in the temple of the old days. He dwells in the temple that he created through his Son, and that being the body of Christ through his blood. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of blood. We thank you for that new covenant that we have, that we may come before you and be communing with you and Christ in your kingdom today, that we commune with others the world over when we commune as a body of Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A separate part of our worship is to lay by in store. And as you exit, you can give your money, and there will be plates at the middle and side exits. But you know, we're very blessed people, and we have a lot of blessings, and you are a very giving congregation. But we never can outgive God, right? We always can improve, and we can have that heart that allows the things that Christ done in his life and blessing others, that because of what you are willing to give, that we can be Christ's instruments today. So let us pray. God, we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us that we do not deserve, and many times we take for granted. Please help us to appreciate the things that you give us. Help us to have that heart that will be giving. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you are here this morning, you were blessed to hear a great message from AJ, and we're going to be blessed again tonight as Hunter brings us a lesson. But in AJ's lesson, he had mentioned towards the end about remembering the sovereignty of God. So tonight, we're going to stand and sing number 76 and praise our God and remember how great he is. So if you would please stand, and let's sing out as we praise our God.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I...
Our scripture reading will come from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe.
Good evening. I am very thankful and honored to be speaking before you tonight. I've never spoke before, so good news, haven't spoke before, very proud. Bad news, never spoke before, so my voice may crack, my noise may shake, just bear with me. So, to give you a story about myself, when I was in first or second grade, I was at a private Christian school back where I grew up, and I had a teacher that asked us what he'd want to do when we grew up. So in first grade, the first thing I said was, I want to be a preacher. So I drew a picture, and I was going to put it up on the PowerPoint, but I decided not to for the sake of your eyes. But it was just a plain, ugly, misshapen figure standing at a pulpit with a little speaker. And, you know, I was very proud of that, and my parents were very proud of that. They put it, my dad actually has it in his wardrobe today. As time went by, that's what I thought I wanted to do, and I didn't realize that I have a fear of public speaking. It's hard. I can't explain it, still can't. So as time went by, you know, as I was growing up, I was asked to lead in various ways, and I just would refuse, or I would ask politely and say no. You know, I'm not ready. Well, that went on for about, I don't know, 10 years. When I was 16 years old, and my church had about 40 regular members, we had an older man who kept pushing me every Sunday night to lead a prayer, every night. And I kept saying no. Well, finally, I said yes. And I said a prayer in front of three people. And it was, to be honest, it wasn't the greatest prayer. I was shaky and horrible, but it was a good prayer nonetheless, and I'm proud of it. So, tonight, let this be an example. If you have a fear, you can break your comfort zone, and you can do it. If I can do it, so can you. So, turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to start this evening. I titled my topic, Spiritual Warfare 101. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about spiritual warfare, and if we're going to talk about it, the first thing we have to do is examine ourselves before we actually get into the battle. So, Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual powers over the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So from the scripture here, you know, they make mention of the whole armor of God, which is, it has small pieces. It has the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of readiness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. So those things compile to be the whole armor of God. So I thought tonight we could talk about three different kinds of spiritual armor that we can have as Christians. So the first one that we're going to talk about tonight is the decorative kind of spiritual armor. So when something's decorative, its only function is to look good. You know, it may look like it's all put together and it's all perfect, but the reality is it's more than likely low quality. It's not very durable. And if you have that armor, you're certainly not going to use it in a fight. I wouldn't. So what does the Bible say about decorative armor? So if you want to, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. So Matthew chapter 23, and keep in mind the verses here in red letters, which means Jesus himself spoke these words. So just a thought. We'll start in verse 2, and we're going to skip around a bit. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and at the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. Skip down to verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Skip down to verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are all full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So you can see in this text, being decorative, you may look good on the outside, but on the inside you're hollow. You're not following your Christian duties and values. And the scribes and Pharisees here, they were acting the part that they were perfect, that they were the best, and that they did no wrong. But God saw right through it. Jesus saw right through it and put him to shame. And as we know today in our world, you know, we are sinners. We all sin. Romans 3:23, for we all sin and come short of the glory of God. So we're not, but we're also supposed to be honest with who we are to everybody around us. We're not supposed to act like we're better than people by any means. And we're supposed to be proud of who we are. Because God tells us, you know, as Christians, that we are the light of the world. And he wants us to be seen. But he also wants us to be honest about how we're perceived, and he wants us to be truthful. So tonight, are you wearing decorative armor? The second kind of armor we're going to talk about tonight is neglected armor. So when you neglect something or someone, you're failing to take care of it as it should be taken care of. And neglect there's an active type of neglect, which means it's intentional, or there's a passive kind, which means it's a lack of information or ability. You just don't know it. So, neglected armor, in this case, would be, at one point, it may have been strong, battle-ready armor, but due to mistreatment, lack of care, it begins to corrode and waste away. And as Christians, you know, we cannot do that. We cannot let our spiritual armor waste away. And how often do we come here to worship God, and you know, we come here and we say the right things, but when we walk out that door, we stick our armor in our car and we don't look at it again until we come back on Wednesday nights. If you want to turn with me, we'll turn to Lamentations chapter 1. We're going to look at an example of neglected armor. So starting in verse 1, we're going to skip a little bit. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She who was great among the nations, she who was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Skip down to verse 7. Jerusalem remembers in the days of her affliction and wandering all the precious things that were hers from days of old. When her people fell into the hand of the foe, and there was none to help her, her foes gloated over her, and they mocked at her downfall. Jerusalem sinned grievously. Therefore, She became filthy. All who honored her despised her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns her face away. Her uncleanness was in her skirts, and she took no thought of her future. Therefore, her fall is terrible. She has no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. So in chapter 1, we can see in this script, in this text, that God's chosen people neglected his city. They neglected the temple. They neglected Jerusalem as a whole. And they mistreated God and his teachings. And in doing so, led to their downfall by the Babylonians in 587 B.C., So you can see if you have neglecting armor, if you have neglected your armor, if you're not careful, you'll have a downfall. The good news is that if you are wearing neglected armor, you can be fixed. You can be restored. And praise God for that. So with those two being said, here's four things that as Christians going through our daily lives and as you know we're trying to be the best in Christ-like as we can be, here's four things that can help us take care of our spiritual armor. Number one, study scriptures daily. And when I mean study daily, I mean actually understand what you're trying to study, not just opening your book and closing it after you've read a few things. Number two, spend quality time with brothers and sisters in Christ outside of worship service. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, this has uplifted me tremendously. And there's nothing more satisfying and fulfilling when you're with your brothers and sisters praising God outside of this building. And if you haven't considered, if a good place to start would be at the end of the month, we're having a family retreat in Maywood. And then a lot of us are going to be there. We'll be having a good time praising God. And if you really would, I'd consider you attending. Number three, prayer and giving praise to God for all that he's provided outside of the church building. And number four, constant self-examination of your spiritual health, because we have to keep ourselves in check and examine ourselves regularly, but we also must hold our brothers and sisters accountable as well. So if you practice these things, it'll fill you with his spirit and allow you to be a better soldier for him. So with that being said, the last type of armor I want to talk about this evening is authentic battle-ready armor. So the intention of this armor is for everyday use. It is reliable and is capable of absorbing and dealing many blows. Sorry. It is made of high quality material that is meant to stand the test of time. It's not made to be pretty, but it's made to be rugged and strong, and it's also ready to be made to use at a moment's notice. As Christians, we must be ready to defend our faith, and we may never know when it happens. It may come at the blink of an eye, but we must be ready. And if you can utilize and be battle ready and utilize the whole armor of God, not only will it help you stand to defend your faith, but it'll also help you to follow the command given by God in Mark 16:15-16 to go out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Utilizing the whole armor of God will allow you to do so. So, if you haven't been utilizing the whole armor of God, I urge you to take that leap and immerse yourself in the majesty of God. He is the only way to eternal life, John 3:16. So we must be ready to meet him that day. So an example of battle-ready armor, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to start. So in chapter 17, this is David and Goliath's story. You know, David comes to the camp that next morning after the soldiers were there and they saw Goliath and were afraid. So starting in verse 23. As he talked with him, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. So David saw Goliath, heard him speak. He comes to Saul and to his brothers, and he's like, what do you get? What happens? What's going to happen to whoever defeats this giant? And they tell him, oh, you'll be blessed by the king, get riches, you get to marry his daughter. So fast forward to 32. So David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He volunteered to go. He opted to fight the Philistine. Now, skip forward to verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Let all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." The beautiful thing about this story is that David didn't have any armor when he fought Goliath. He was given armor. Saul, you know, asked him if he wanted to use his armor. He said it didn't fit, and he said no. And he had his sling. Even though he didn't have armor, he had the armor of God by his side. And he knew who the victor was going to be. So tonight as we close, what kind of armor have you been wearing? Have you been living your life not being prepared for the battle that is around you? As Christians, we must be ready, because there will come a day and time will be no more. If you've been wearing the wrong kind of armor this evening, there is good news. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to be restored and made new again. And all it takes from you is to take that step. If you have any needs, please come as we stand and as we sing.
And your study for proclaiming God's word to us. Y'all go by and say a kind word to them. I thank you so much. We were uplifted by your message from God today. Thank you both.
As we close out our worship, we'll sing number 396, all three verses, and then we'll be dismissed in a prayer.
There's not a friend like the Lord.
Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you for AJ and Hunter's abilities to come up here and proclaim your word. I pray for our government leaders that lead this country, whether city, state, federal, everybody that has a part in that. Thank you for everybody overseas that is fighting for our country. Help us to have a good week, whether work or school. And thank you for sending your son Jesus down the cross. Save us from our sins. In Christ's name, amen.